Well, let's take our Bibles today. Yours might be on an electronic device like mine or leather bound, but either way, let's take your Bibles, let's hold them up, and let's say the words up on the screen. You ready to say them with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, oh, we are so grateful today for the power of your word. And I thank you today that as I minister this message that you have placed in my heart, that the Holy Spirit will take your word and will help each one of us apply it in such a way you will help us hear it, you will help us to become doers of it, and that it will be applied in such a way, Lord, that we can live blessed, not stressed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in a series right now entitled Blessed, Not Stressed. Now, we have a mission here at Faith Life Church, and our mission as a church is simply this. Faith Life Church exists to build people's faith so they know Jesus, live free, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Listen, people come to know Jesus as their Savior. They come to learn and grow in Him, but a part of that is getting to the next step to live free. And in this session, we want to teach you how to live free from stress. Anybody need that message, maybe? In fact, I just simply entitled this message today, Stress Less. And so let's get into this message. And I want to take you back to what is our text scripture in this series. And it's found in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. And it says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Wow. Jeremiah, who is the prophet that penned this passage well over 2,000 years ago, he beautifully describes the blessed life. He describes the blessed life as a tree. And not just any tree, but a tree that's planted right by the riverbanks. And so because this tree is right at the riverbanks, it's receiving all the nourishment it needs to grow, to flourish. In fact, it says it never stops producing fruit. We know it's a spiritual illustration. He's using a natural principle to show us a spiritual truth, because there's no trees, you know, they usually go through season. But this tree, this blessed life that God has for us, wow. Really, what it's a picture of? It's a picture of us having all we need to do well in life. Now, while Jeremiah does a great job of teaching us about the blessed life, I love the fact, too, that he refers to stress. He says, this tree's not bothered by the heat. He didn't say there wasn't any heat. He said, this tree is not worried by, now get this, long months of drought. That's blessed. You see, what the prophet is teaching us and what the Bible teaches us is that you and I can live blessed in the midst of stressful conditions. Amen. We've said this, life and stress go hand in hand, and you're not going to break them up. Yeah. Yeah. Becoming a Christian does not break them up. But what we can learn, and what the Bible teaches us, and what I want to teach you today from the Word of God, is you can learn to live with less stress. You can stress less. Now, I want to get into more of the definition of stress in just a moment. And I say, as if you need me to define it. But let me just make sure that we're all on the same page when it comes to the word blessed. What does the Bible mean when it talks about someone being blessed? Well, if we take here the illustration that Jeremiah gives us, we see that to be blessed means you have everything you need in life to prosper. If we go to the New Testament, we see that in Christ, or we could say through our relationship with God that comes to us through Christ Jesus, in that relationship with God, we find everything we need for life. I'm not just talking about spiritual stuff. It begins spiritually. In fact, in the New Testament, it says that in Christ we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. But see, here's what I want you to understand. Every blessing, everything you need to prosper in life, whether it is for your spiritual well-being, peace on the inside, joy, a relationship with God, that spiritual life, or whether it's physical, how many of you know it covers sickness, disease, brokenness in our body, whether it's relationships, financial, mental, everything we need flows from those spiritual blessings. God thought of everything, everything we need to prosper. So here's the definition that I want you to keep in mind when we say the word blessed. The word blessed is literally the power to prosper in any arena of life. Now listen, you're going to need God's power to prosper because there is stress in this world. And I know some of you think you're really gifted. And you are. You have gifts, you have talents, you have abilities, you can achieve things, you can do things. But sometimes life, even when you've done something great, can even more stress can come on you because now people are expecting you to do it again. So we have to rely on God. We've got to put our faith in Him because we don't need just what comes from our achievements to prosper in life. Relationships, we need to prosper from the inside out. God will take care of the outside, but we need the power to prosper. So when we talk about living a blessed life, we're talking about the power of God operating in your life so that you can prosper. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Now, let's go back, not that we want to, but let's go back to stress for just a moment. Conditions are stressful. Let me define for you the word stress. The word stress is defined as a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. Anybody relate to that? Yes. Tell you, yesterday, I'm going to be open with y'all. Yesterday, I was stressing about this message, and I had to stop it. And part of my stress was that I had a minister's meeting this Friday. We hosted, you all hosted, so thank you. We hosted 30 ministers that came in, and we ministered to them. Pastor Tim Gilligan came down from Ocala. He spoke, I spoke, and so that took up most of my day. There were some other meetings that I had to do for the church this week. And then on Saturday, I normally don't have places to go. Well, normally Friday I do my message. We were at the minister's meeting. Then Saturday I had a baby shower. Let me tell you something. You know, there's this thing about women pastors or men pastors, and you know, we know that the Bible says that in Christ there's neither male nor female, but I will tell you something about being a woman pastor. There's one thing that a woman pastor has to do that men pastors don't have to do. You know what it is? Go to baby showers. Right. Men pastors do not have to go to baby showers. I had to go to a baby shower yesterday. And I was glad to go. Had to at least drop by there, and I had to cut it short because I needed to get back and do my message, finish it up. And then I also, like every pastor has to do, last night I needed to go to a funeral. And so in between I got up, worked on my message, you know, then went to the baby shower, came back home, worked on the stress. Yeah. Okay, and I just had to learn how to stress less and how to trust God. And so we all have those things that sometimes want to come on us. And then we also can define the word stressed with an ED. And the Cambridge Dictionary explains it or defines it like this: worried and unhappy because you have too much work to do and too many problems to deal with. Just life. And then I love this definition of stress from Cambridge Dictionary. They call it the technical definition. It says a force that tends to change the shape or strength of an object. Now listen, we do not want stress, the force of stress, to change us. Change us from being happy to being angry, to being irritable. We don't want it to shape our lives. We don't want it to shape our relationships. We don't want it to shape our finances. We don't want to shape the way we go to work, the way we come home. But the only way that we're going to overcome the stress that it's in the world is we're going to have to put our trust in God. Last week we talked about the force of hope, and I encourage you, if you didn't hear us talk about it, if you didn't get that message, go on, download the podcast, flctampa.org. You can watch the video. Hope is a powerful force to overcome stress. When it comes to overcoming stress, we put our hope in God. Now today, though, I want to talk about another force, but first let me just give you some more stats about stress. In 2017, Bloomberg reported this. It said, we've never been more stressed out than we are right now. Speaking about Americans, you would think that because we're in an affluent nation, one of the most affluent nation, the most prosperous nation in the world, you would think there would be less stress. No, the American Psychological Association said that the stress in America is continually on the rise. It's gone up 11% in the last 10 years. Also, Gallup poll did a poll in 2018. They did it worldwide, but this is just about America. And here are the stress levels of Americans by age group. Look at this. 15 to 29 years of age, 64% say they're stressed. How about 30 to 49? It went up a percent. 65%, I say they got married. It's quite, but it just went up a percent, so that's pretty good. So then 50 plus, 44%. And I jokingly say, you know why the 54 plus is only 44? Because kids are out of the house. Or maybe they're not yet. Anyway. Oh, my husband always says this: little kids, little problems. Big kids, bigger problems. That's why we have to learn to live a blessed life, not stress. But now listen, here's what those stats show us. Those stats show us or tell us that we as the church, we have a responsibility to do something about that. Our young people are stressed out. Our young adults, our young married couples are stressed out. Families are stressed out. The church has the answer, and we are called to minister to the world. And I want to encourage you, I want to commend you for being here today so that you can learn how to live blessed and not stressed, because a part of what we're called to do is to remove the stress off of the world by being a blessing to them. This past week, when they delivered those gift cards, you relieved some financial stress off of families. We were a blessing to them. That's what the church is supposed to be. But if we in the church are stressed out, now listen, I'm not saying that we have to be stressless as far as there's no stress. No, we just have to know how to do life and live blessed. So I'm going to teach you how to do that today, because I know that God wants you to experience less stress. Now, I want to take you to Psalm 119, and let's get into this message today. Psalm 119, verse 143 says this: as pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Now, this is the Prophet David, King David, writing this. And I love the Word of God, because not only is the Bible full of amazing truth, but it doesn't sugarcoat anything either. God's not afraid to call it like it is. Listen, I think sometimes we have a camp that we associate ourselves with. I grew up in this camp, and it was called the Faith Camp. And sometimes in the Faith Camp, we put a lot of emphasis, and we should, on our confession, on speaking the Word of God, speaking the truth. But sometimes you just got to call it like it is, so that you can change what is. Yeah. Sometimes you got to admit, but David did, it's in the Bible. But he didn't stop. Now listen, he didn't just say, I'm stressed. He didn't stop there. You can't stop there. You may need to tell somebody, here's what I'm dealing with, but don't stop there. But I love it. He just says, pressure and stress bear down on me. That word there, that's translated pressure, stress, it literally is defined in the Hebrew as a narrow place, a tight place, straits, distress, an oppressor, an enemy, and an adversary. To me, I think that's so, that so well describes the feeling that stress brings in our life. When we're under stress, we feel like we're in this tight place, narrow place. You better do something, but anything you do is gonna make somebody mad. Maybe even you're gonna get mad. Maybe you won't even like the decision you have to make. Stress, straits. I thought about that word straight. And when I read that word straight, I thought about the Strait of Hormuz. And I'm really not a student of the Middle East. And so the only reason that I really knew about the Strait of Hormuz is because there's so much stress around this little strait. In fact, could you put up that picture? You'll see Iran and Oman, and there's the Strait of Hormuz, and it's a real narrow sea passage, and it's the only way out of the Persian Gulf to get out in the ocean. And so it's the only passage that petroleum, which is a big deal, gets out of there and gets to the international market. And so there's been so many, Saudi Arabia, I mean, you see, Emirates, all of these people around, there's been fighting. Why? Because it's such a tight place. Isn't it true? When you get under stress, wars erupt. Yeah. Yeah. At home, at work, in your marriage. Sometimes stress creates in our lives our own little straits of Hormuz, and we're at war, or there's threats of war. Because we're under pressure. I got to do something. The finances. I'm broken. I'm hurting. My kids. Stress. But remember, Jeremiah taught us that even in the most stressful condition, long months of drought, we can live blessed. We can have the power to prosper. In fact, as I was reading some up on the Straits of Hormuz, one of the news articles that I was reading on it, they said this about the strait. They referred to it as the world's most important oil choke point. I thought, wow, choke point. Isn't that what stress does too? It's like a choke point, it chokes the life out of us, chokes the life out of our marriage. We can't enjoy our marriage because we're under such financial stress. We can't enjoy our job because of our boss, or we're the boss and the people under us. Choke point, choking the life out of us. But today, I want to turn it around on your adversary, your enemy. I want to teach you how to choke the stress out of your life. Come on, don't let the stress be the choke point. And it doesn't matter where you are or how much stress you're under right now, you can be the choke point. And if you don't believe me, look at this. How many of you know that little frog? I'm sure you've probably seen this illustration before, but the little pelican there trying to swallow the frog already in the mouth, but what does he do? He choke point. Listen, some of you may feel like you're under such stress today that your head is already in the mouth of the bird, but grab the throat. I'm going to give you tools, the Word of God today, that you can use to choke the stress. Don't let the stress, it's going to come. I can't stop the stress from coming. Well, we will talk about 1 week that there is some stress. If you behave better, probably wouldn't be there. But I'm talking about just the stress in life. Listen, you're going to have to, time and time again, you're going to have to reach out and you're going to have to be the choke point. And choke the stress. So let's talk about how do you stress less. And in talking about how you want to stress less, I'm really going to bring out a principle today. Sometimes, those of you who are Faith Life Church family, you know, sometimes I'll do three or four little points that I bring out, steps that I give you. Today, there's just one. But you need to get this one. And I'm going to say it this way. I need you to listen up. Because this precept, this principle that I'm about to give you, it is so simple that you're probably going to be tempted not to give it the weight that it deserves. You also may be tempted not to give it the weight that it deserves because you've heard it before. And so you already kind of have a mindset about that. But I'm going to ask you, just give me a chance this morning. Just give me a chance. Let me say this principle, and it goes back to this psalm that we just read. But let me bring out this principle about how to stress less. And I want you to put weight on it. You ready? Here's the principle. Do what God says. Mm-hmm. Stress less. You want less stress in your life? Do what God says. The psalmist put it this way. He said, I find joy in your commands. In fact, I don't want you to even think about doing God's commands right now. I just want you to think about having joy. In fact, I want to build your joy. You see, religion has stole the joy out of God's commands. You see, religion puts stress on us. Well, you better. Did you? You did? I'm not saying that we don't have responsibility. But we got to respond to God's ability. Amen. Yeah. And the way that we find the power to do the commands is it begins by first joying in the commands. See, I know this. If I can get you to joy about God's commands, you will do what you like to do. Listen, I know some of you don't like to work, but you do because of the joy of the paycheck. Yeah, I got to go to work today. Well, just don't go. No, I'm going. Why are you going? Because you want the joy. Listen, I'm not saying that every command of God is going to be easy. But oh, the reward, the joy, the less stress. So can you just give me a moment this morning to let me build your joy? And can I tear down some of the religious thoughts that you've had about the commands of God? Boy, if I serve God, you won't have any life. I tell you what, I'm having the time of my life serving God. And we all can, but we got to build our joy. The word commands there, it's a Hebrew word, and It literally just means a command, whether human or divine, a precept, a law, the teacher or the instruction of a teacher to his pupil. Can we just use common sense? Come on, I'm with the smart group this morning. We've got common sense. I've always wondered why they called it common sense, because it's not so common. Just use common sense. It says the instructions of a pupil to their student. If you did what your teacher told you to do, there was less stress. How many of you stressed out because you went back to school and didn't do your homework? And you were stressing because you didn't follow the instructions. How about you're driving? Says commands, human or divine, and you're driving on the interstate, and maybe you got your praise and worship on, and you're singing, and you don't realize how fast you're going, and all of a sudden, you look at your speedometer, and the only reason you look at it, because you see a highway patrolman sitting over there. Stress. And then joy comes when he doesn't turn on his lights and follow you. Oh, or she, either one of them. Come on. This word commands also comes from the Hebrew word mitzvah, and it means clear-cut directives revealed by inspiration. It referred to the Ten Commandments and other directives given by God to the nation of Israel. Really, we could say that the Bible, the Word of God, is filled with clear-cut directives from God to us. And again, let's use common sense. Think about the Ten Commandments. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't have any other gods before you, don't murder. Wouldn't the world be a less stressful world if everybody just did what God says to do? Amen. Can I tell you this? Because, you know, I got the A crowd here today. I mean, you're at church. You're here for a reason. You love God. Yeah. Most of you are believers. You know the Ten Commandments aren't even for you? This is just ordinary human behavior. Yeah. God gave these Ten Commandments to people who didn't know him. I hope God doesn't have to tell you not to murder. Like, I'm struggling with that, Pastor Jane. Now, I know some of you felt like you're going to murder those kids you had. If you want to be alive to see tomorrow, I brought you into this world. I told my boys, now I can't say I brought you into this world because we adopted you, but I did bring you into this house. But come on. But still, if people just did the Ten Commandments, I think, now I'm just thinking here, we need to think. I'm building your joy. Think it through. Don't just let stress force you into disobeying a command of God. Come on, fill your joy up. I'm just thinking that it will be less stress on a marriage if you remain faithful rather than if you commit adultery. Just thinking. I'm thinking that you're going to have less stress in your life if you don't lie. Because somewhere along the line, you're going to get caught. Now, it may not be too stressful when you lie. In fact, you may think you're relieving stress when you tell that lie. But then one day, come on, the people who, they call them white-collar crimes, were embezzling money. They thought their lives were stress-free. But ask them how much stress they have now that they're sitting in jail. Listen, we got to realize that God gives us these clear directives because he wants us to stress less. Now, I want to deal with religion for just a moment. Because you see, one of the things that religion has taught us is that the commandments of God are taxing. They're a burden. And we just got to carry our burden. Life's going to be tough. So I want to take you to a New Testament scripture, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John 5, 3 says this, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Wow. That word burdensome means heavy in weight, mostly with the notion of strength and force. Can I tell you something? God is a loving heavenly Father, and he would never force you to to do something. Religion does. Religion is all about God, but without God. Religion is you better. Now, listen, let me just say, I'm not saying that we don't have any responsibility at all, but I'm saying we've got to get things in the proper order so that we can live blessed, so that we can obey His commandments. I got to build your joy, and you've got to understand that the commandments of God are not burdensome. In other words, when you do them, they will not bring a burden on your marriage, on your finances, on your life. They will not burden you down. In fact, when you do them, even though, now see, here's where you got to suffer a little pain. Here's where you got to have some pain for some gain. But I know you're not going to go through the pain, because sometimes you have to go through a little pain to obey God. Yeah. You have to say no to your flesh, no to others, and you have to maybe just go ahead and do it. Because God said do it. I'm going to obey God. I'm not going to fall into temptation. And so there's a little pain, but I want to build your joy. After you do that, after you obey God, there's not going to be a burden. In fact, the burden is going to be lifted. The joy is going to come. His commands are not burdensome. Religion would tell us that they are. Religion, I said, it's all about God without God. And here's why. Because religion excludes the helper. Religion excludes the power of Christ within. You see, one of the reasons that we can expect that we can do the commands of God, and one of the reasons we can joy about His commands, is because we've got help. Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Oh, did you hear that? God not only gives you clear directive in His Word, but then He comes through His power, through the Spirit of Christ, to live on the inside of you, and He creates desires in you, and then He also gives you the power. Have you been relying on the power? The blessed life is the power to prosper. You're not alone. You don't walk out the commands of God without the power of God. You cannot do it. And here's the good news. God knew you couldn't do it. He knew you weren't even going to do it, even with His power residing on the inside of you. He knew you weren't going to be perfect. So what do you do when you miss it? You do what He says. He said ask for forgiveness and that He would cleanse you. Come on, do what God says. Stress less. It always produces less stress. Listen to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Here it says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. The world is filled with pressure. But God said, listen, I want my people to be able to live blessed in the midst of stressful conditions. So I'm going to put my Spirit in them. And the Spirit that is in you is greater than the stress that is in the world. Wow. I need to remind you of that. When you feel like your head is in the mouth of that pelican. Really, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you is telling you, grab His neck, grab His neck. We got this. Are you listening to Him? Are you putting your faith in Him? Now, let me close with this. In fact, could I get some more water, please? Preaching up a storm, but I'm not, no storms, please. Yes, sunny days. Let me close here. Romans 8:12 says this. I want to give you one more thing, just building your joy. Romans 8:12 says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by it dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You see, there's some commands that are clear directives in the Word of God. But there's some commands, some things, you got to listen to the Spirit of God. You got to be led by the Spirit of God to tell you who to marry. I tell you, that guy, he may go to church, he may look good, but he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. The Holy Spirit's telling you, stay away from him. You know, the Holy Spirit may lead you to move, not move, go to this church, do this ministry, get involved here. You know you're supposed to be involved, but where? We've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Also, he tells us this. He tells us that we're under no obligation to do what our flesh pressures us to do. You see, our flesh, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in this body, and this flesh will pressure us. We think we got to do that. You know what? This person is telling me if I don't do that. My boss is telling me if I don't lie for him, I'm going to lose my job. And if I lose my job, I'm not going to be able to pay for this. Do not. You are under no obligation. Amen. The Spirit of God on the inside of you can help you stand up, walk in integrity, give your resignation. I know of one story where a person stood up to the boss and said, I cannot do that. And then the boss actually got frustrated and said, well, okay. You're a Christian. And then 6 months later, promoted them because they knew this person, yeah. I can trust them. Yeah. You can do it. And let me just give you this illustration as we close today. Talk about obligation of the flesh. Now listen, you don't have to be under the obligation of the flesh to do things that bring stress, but you can if you want to. Years ago, I was, obviously this was before Jeff, my first ministry position, and actually I was a school teacher at a Christian school, and then I worked in the church as the children's pastor, and there was another single young man a little older than me that he was an associate pastor. So we'd gotten thrown together first just in meetings, and because we were always together due to church activities. But he started taking me out, and we developed a relationship, but then he was just a little odd about it. He just would never, somebody would ask him if we were a couple. He'd go, oh, no, no, we're just friends. And so, you know, really irritate me a little bit. And, you know, but at that point, there was nobody else on the horizon. And so anyway, his name was Pastor Romeo. Actually, he was Greek-Italian, and his name was really Romeo, but he wasn't living up to it in that sense. But let me tell you about the flesh. He, you know, wasn't, you know, outward, you know, didn't express things outward. Well, it was Valentine's Day, and I was teaching, and the school happened to be, the Christian school that belonged to this church, happened to be on a separate property from the church offices. But one day, Valentine's Day, of all days, I get these flowers. I'm thinking, I can't believe it. Here in front of God and everybody, he's sending me flowers. This is wonderful. I'm teaching a first grade class, first and second graders. And so I tell all the kids, because they knew him, they're from this church. Oh, look, Pastor Romeo sent Miss Hillman flowers. And so then I was so excited, they were coloring. And so I opened up my class door, propped it open, and I ran around to the next class real quickly where my roommate was. And I thought, she's got to hear this. She's got to see. He sent me flowers. So I opened up the door, and I stuck the flowers, and I said, they're from Romeo. And I saw this distressed look on her face. I thought, what's that about? And then I followed her eyes down to her desk. There were flowers. She said, he sent all the flower teachers flowers. At that moment, I was under no obligation to let the flesh roll, but I did. I was so mad. I shut her door. I went back to my class. I took those roses. I ripped them in half. I threw them in the trash. And all these little kids are like, what is going on? You know, one little kid, his mom told me later, he went home and said, Pastor Romeo brought Miss Hillman flowers, but they must have been dead because she threw them in the trash. So now the whole church knows, you know, that I threw these flowers away, but I'm feeling justified until I go home that afternoon and I go to my mailbox to get the mail. And inside my mailbox, he had come to my house and had put a beautiful watch with a happy Valentine's Day card in my mailbox. Stress. I am stressed out now. And why am I stressed? I had no obligation to do what my flesh, and the Spirit of God was trying to lead me away. But can I tell you this as we close? We got to close. Can I tell you, not only because of the power of Christ in you, not only are you under the obligation to do what your flesh tells you to do, but you're not under obligation to do what other people think you ought to do. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. And then I'll close with this, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. You may say, Pastor Dana, I'm not sure if I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, let peace be the guardrails. The Holy Spirit will always lead you by peace. And so if it's going to bring peace or you're following peace, then you know you're following the Holy Spirit. And when you follow the Holy Spirit, you're doing what God says. And when you do what God says, stress less. It will bring less stress in your life. Did you get something out of that today? I hope that you did.